Your Bible is to Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs 6 and verse number 12. Let's stand together. Proverbs 6 verse 12. A naughty person, a wicked man, walketh with a froward mouth. He winketh with his eyes, he speaketh with his feet, he teacheth with his fingers. Frowardness is in his heart, he deviseth mischief continually, he soweth discord. Therefore shall his calamity come suddenly. Suddenly shall he be broken without remedy. Let me begin by just recapping last week's message from the first part of chapter 6. It had two main points of wisdom. The wise man avoids foolish entanglements, such as co-signing a loan. And the wise man, like the ant, works for the future and delays gratification. Delayed gratification means you can have one marshmallow now, or if you wait 15 minutes, you can have three marshmallows. That's delayed gratification. And the ant, I was looking at self, the ant self-starts, self-supervises, and is self-supporting. She provides for herself and the rest of her colony, her family, so to speak. While the fool, on the other hand, is a sluggard. He loves to sleep. He doesn't like to get up. He requires constant supervision. He is not a self-starter. He does not supervise himself. He does not prepare for the future. And he is likely to end in poverty. He's not going to be the victim of an oppressive society. He's going to be the victim of his own lack of character. And I believe that in our country today, that a person's biggest obstacle to success and prosperity is his or her own character. You can overcome terrible circumstances and have a great life, unless you adopt the victim mentality and use that as a crutch and always leaning on something and saying, well, I just can't do it because of this, that, or the other. Once we get our bad character out of the way, it's amazing what can happen. And, wherever you go, there you are. You can change your location. You can change your, all sorts of things in your life. But if you don't change your character, you're going to find the same problems repeating themselves again and again and again. And so, what does the ant teach us? Get up. Amen. Get up on time. Get up early. Go to work. Supervise yourself. Get the job done. Do it right. Live within your means. Save for the winter months. Take care of your family, those you're responsible for. Don't live on welfare. Don't look for handouts when you can work for a living. Just good advice. That used to be, it's kind of what we call now middle class values. But really, they're just biblical values. They're just the values of common sense and that our nation really, because we have such a biblical basis, was founded upon. Now, the little ant has a lot to teach us, and we're going to leave her behind now and move on to the rest of chapter 6. And you notice the title I've given for this lesson is How to Be Broken Without Remedy, Do Things Hated by God, and Destroy Your Own Soul. I got this from Joel Osteen. He preached this down in Houston just last... No, you don't believe that? He's not going to get anywhere close to something like this. But that is what the main themes are from verse 12 and on through the rest of chapter number 6. Now, what I love about Proverbs is Proverbs does not pull any punches. Okay? You know what it means to pull a punch? That means that I'm going to hit someone, but I'm not going to hit them as hard as I can. I'm going to kind of hold back a little bit. Proverbs doesn't hold back. A lot of folks today want to be coddled. They want someone to coddle them. But if you're a grown Christian, a grown man, someone who takes their life seriously, you don't want to be coddled. You want to be the kind of person that God wants you to be. And you want the truth. Okay, Proverbs gives us the truth about life. And it hits straight from the shoulder about reality. So when we see in verse 15 that he should be broken without remedy, and then suddenly, in fact it says it twice in a row, suddenly shall he be broken without remedy. And verse 16, these six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. Verse 32, but whoso committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding, he that doeth it destroyeth his own soul. All right, so wisdom understands there are going to be some consequences for the wrong actions. That actions and inactions, behavior and decisions, if you sow to the flesh, don't complain about the harvest. And you're not, for some things in life, you're not going to just say, oops, and wave a magic wand over, or the preacher going to wave a magic wand over. It's okay, it's all fixed now. There are some things that could bring sudden destruction that has no remedy. There are some things that the God of the universe, the God who watches your life, the God who will hold you accountable, the God who will chasten and judge, finds to be abominable and hateful. Why do you want to provoke Him by being involved in these things? And certainly, once again, another constant theme in Proverbs is the adulterer and the adulteress, and that is not going to end well. I don't care what the movies and TV say. It is not going to end well. You're going to destroy your own soul. So that's what Proverbs teaches us. Now, notice our first point. Your first blanket number two is there are consequences. Wisdom understands that there are consequences involved in our actions. The first main point. It is foolish to follow the character of a wicked person. It's foolish to follow the character of a wicked person. Verse 12 says, a naughty person, a wicked man. Now, naughty is a word that's kind of lost its impact today. You know, well, you naughty boy, you naughty girl, you know. And it's almost like it's kind of a cutesy thing to say. You know, like around Christmas time, you know, the naughty and the nice. And who's naughty? You're going to get coal in your stocking and all that. But naughty in the Bible is a very serious word. It comes from naught. What's naught? That's zero with the rim erased. There's nothing there. Nothing. Naught. And so naughty refers to a worthless person. Now you say, well, preacher, we don't believe anyone's worthless. And no, we don't, because we understand that there's the eternal value of the soul, and that Christ died for every man. That makes every person of inestimable value because Christ has died for their sins. But on a practical level, on a societal level, on the job, in the family, in the neighborhood, in school, some folks are naught. They're naughty. I mean, their lives are unprofitable. When I was a kid, I think one of the worst things my dad could say about someone, and he said it more than once, what a worthless person. Anyone else ever hear anyone say that? What a worthless person. Now, he wasn't saying that Christ didn't die for his sins or that God didn't love him, but what a worthless person. That kind of character, what a worthless person. That's what a naughty person is. There's someone who is not profitable. Their behavior is wicked. Their actions are worthless as far as righteousness is concerned. And the believer should not want to be like this person in any way whatsoever. I don't want to be naughty. I don't want to be naught. I want to count for something. Amen. I want my life to matter for my family, for my church, for my community, for my nation. I want my life to matter for God, for eternity. I don't want to have a naughty, worthless life that's just going to go up in smoke at the judgment seat of Christ. I want a life that counts for something. Well, a wicked person does not have a life that counts for anything as far as God is concerned. Why would I want to be like that? And so now you have the anatomy of a worthless, wicked man. And it says first, it just takes him apart. He has a froward mouth. Froward means wicked, rebellious, stubborn. He's always saying things he doesn't need to say. And at the bottom of a lot of trouble is someone running their mouth saying things that don't need to be said. Just constantly yak, yak, yak. And saying things that don't need to be saying. Girls, you should be aware that there are guys out there that'll say anything you want to hear. They don't mean a word of it. They don't mean a word of it. And so that's the naughty man. He's got a froward mouth. And then he winks with his eyes, which I think is a kind of a humorous almost. I mean, it's kind of, you might say if someone, he's got shifty eyes. You know, he's got shifty eyes. I don't know if I trust him. You know, you can talk to someone and they kind of have a clear countenance and, you know, their eyes are, you know, pretty open. And then you got the guys that are kind of shifty. It also kind of means this. You ever seen someone do this? They look over at their friends and they kind of wink at them, and then they come over here and they play act. You ever seen that? It's like, hey guys, watch what I'm about to do here. Watch this. And then they act out a part for somebody. Huh? It's like they're being frauds, they're being fakes, but they're trying to impress, so they're winking at their friends and they acting the fool. Okay. In other words, this is not a stand-up man. This is not someone who is sincere. He's a fraud, and you can't trust him. He winks with his eyes, and then he speaks with his feet and teaches with his fingers. So you can't really believe what he says. You have to watch what he does. If his feet are going this way, don't believe him when he says he's going that way. His feet are telling the truth. His mouth is lying. If he says, I'm not stealing that, I'm not doing, don't listen to what he says. His hands are telling you the truth. Does that make sense? You ever found your kid, they got in the refrigerator and they got food all over their face? It wasn't me. Who am I going to believe? You or my lying eyes? Right? So if their feet say one thing and their hands say one thing and their mouth says another, believe what you can see, not what you hear. Okay. So this guy has his feet and his hands are inconsistent with what he is saying. His heart is froward, which means he's rebellious and arrogant. His mind devises mischief continually. He's always thinking of ways to get around the rules and to get involved in mischief. He sows discord, which is what cowards do. Because a coward is not going to stand up and speak to your face. They tend to be passive and they do their work in the background where there's very little risk to them. That's why Korah would have never stood toe-to-toe with Moses and said the things that he said by himself. So first Korah comes over here, and over a length of time, he gets 250 guys on his side. Then he comes back with 250 guys backing him up. Now he's ready to face Moses, ready to face the two old men over there, Moses and Aaron. You've got to beware of those who sow the discord in the background and are not willing to stand up and be counted and speak up on their own. They always have to sow it and get other people to do their talking for them and do their dirty work for them. You know, a man ought not be that way. Man, if a man has something to say, I'll just say it. Not beat around the bush and not play it safe. Just say what needs to be said. This guy, he sows discord. He's not a stand-up individual. He's sneaky. He's deceitful. He's a liar. He's cowardly. You can't trust him. You shouldn't trust him. He's duplicitous. That means he's two-faced. He presents one thing while doing another. You don't want to cast your pearls before this guy. He's swine. You don't want to give that which is holy to this guy because he's a dog. Oh, preacher, how can you say that about people? Jesus told us to make such judgments. He said, don't cast your pearls before swine. How do I know where I'm not to cast my pearls if I can't make any character judgments? Well, don't you know the Bible says judge not? Yeah, read the rest of the passage, my friend. Read the rest of what that says. I mean, there are some people you need to be careful. You don't want to cast your pearls before them. You don't want to give them that which is holy. They will waste it. They will destroy it. This is not a stand-up individual. This is a wicked person, a naughty person, and they have bad character. Be honest. Be straightforward. Be upstanding. Don't be sneaky. You know, kids, that's one thing. If the kids will get this, not to be a sneaky kind of a person, you'll have a better life. You guys, just be real. You gals, just be real. Don't be sneaky. You know who's sneaky? Rats. Y'all with me? Rats are sneaky. Bears are not sneaky. Bears just walk along. I don't care if you're there or not. Rats are always sneaking around. They're always afraid to come out. Always in the background. Always in the walls. Always in the shadows. Don't be a sneaky, slimy kind of a person. If you're made in the image of God, stand upright and be real. If you mess up, fess up. It's the same for men or women. Sooner or later, the wicked and worthless person is going to run into reality. Therefore, shall his calamity come suddenly, suddenly shall be broken without remedy. Many of these are now sitting in prisons. Many of them are now dead. Because that is the path of such a character. Number two. Your next blank there was sneaky. This is sneaky. All right, number two. It is foolish to do things hated by God. Verse 16. These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. Now it's important to know that the God of the universe who created us, who gives us life, who watches us, who lives within you if you're a believer, who as a father will chasten you when you are wrong, and will hold you accountable for your actions and will judge you at the judgment seat of Christ, it's important to understand that he hates some things, and some things are an abomination to him. Why would I want to be involved in things or cling to things that he hates. Y'all with me? Why do I want to make him mad? I don't want him mad at me. I want him happy with me. So, and I think about Ahab and Jezebel. The Bible says Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel than all there before him. He embraced every abomination. He embraced everything God hated. And he was constantly provoking the God of heaven. That's not smart. That's not wise. And he died and went to hell. He's in hell today. And so, these seven things are an abomination. Let's look at some of these things. Verse 17. A proud look. God hates arrogant pride. A lying tongue. Well, that's a good one. A lying tongue. Tell the truth. At least don't lie. Tell the truth. I believe in being a truth teller. It'd be kind of a sad thing to be called to preach and not be a truth teller. I try to always be honest with my family. If my wife asks me, do you like this dress? And I don't like the dress, I tell her I don't like the dress. What am I going to do? Say, oh, I love it, and then I got to look at it for the next 10 years? Until finally I say, I hate that dress. And then she says, you let me wear this dress for 10 years and you hated it the whole time. I know, I should have been honest in the first place. I'm sorry. Now, if she asks me, do I look fat in this dress? I'm not stupid. She doesn't look fat in anything. She's not. That was a bad example. I'm glad she's in the nursery. You like this food? It's not my favorite. If I say, oh, I love it, I'm going to get it every Friday. I don't lie to my kids. I've never lied to my kids. If they were young and they asked me questions that weren't their business, I said, that's not your business. If they're too young, I say, you're too young. If they're, you know, if they don't need to know, you don't need to know. That's a lot better than making up lies. And so just always be honest. Why do people lie? You know, lies are destructive. Lies ruin entire societies. Think about how much of World War II is based on lies. National lies. How many hundreds of millions of people have died because of lies? Our nation swims in lies today. Absolutely lies. Lies everywhere. Men can have babies now. Men can get cervical cancer now. How dare you say that that's not a man? Just because biology says that they're not. Lies. Lies everywhere. Why do people lie? Well, people lie because they're trying to do something wrong. That's your next blank. They're trying to do something wrong. Number two, people lie because they did something wrong and they are trying to get away with it without facing consequences. So they lie. Number three, people lie because they are afraid. They get caught and their first reaction, self-preservation, is they lie to try to protect themselves. And then fourthly, people lie because they're cowards. That's not just when they get caught doing something. That just means they're cowardly all the time. They lie all the time because they're afraid of the truth. Don't lie. Don't lie to your spouse. Now some of these TV shows you watch, you know, many of these TV shows, they would be about 4 minutes if no one lied. I mean, it's like, all right, here's the show starts, some little comedy, family sitcom or whatever. And it starts and someone lies, and then it compounds and grows and grows and grows until they finally say, oh, I'm sorry, and it's all better again. And that's fine for TV. It's funny to laugh at Lucy and Ricky as Lucy's trying to get out of some problem she got herself into, but it's not good for real life. Amen. Be honest with your spouse. Be honest with your kids. Be honest with your parents. Be honest with God. Be honest with yourself. People lie and they live behind lies. They live with lies. And when they come in contact with the truth, they don't want it. They'd rather have their lie than learn the truth. Because what the truth might mean to them might change their entire perception of themselves. It's a lot easier to go through life saying, I'm oppressed. In the freest nation in the history of the world, I'm oppressed. But then if you're oppressed, you don't have to actually do anything because you have that built-in excuse. Well, I can't get it. It's not that I'm lazy or have a bad attitude. It's just that I'm oppressed, so I can't get ahead. And then you try to teach them the truth that actually you're not oppressed. You actually have great opportunities as much as anybody else. Other people are not more privileged than you than just because of their race. and you can actually succeed in life, but you've got to do something to do that, that might actually change their perception, and they'd rather embrace a lie. What's the next thing? Hands that shed innocent blood. God hates the abortion doctor's hands. Verse 18, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. Only you and God knows what goes on in your own imagination. But He hates a wicked imagination. Feet that be swift and running to mischief. It's amazing how fast these riots get started. Something happens and boom, the cities are on fire. Stores are being looted. People are running in and out of these places, carrying out televisions. How quick they are to run to mischief. So swift. I wish people were as swift as running to God and running to church and running to responsibility as some are to running to mischief. Verse 19, a false witness that speaketh lies. That's someone bearing false witness against someone. That's not just someone lying to get out of trouble. That's me telling a lie about Nathan that then hurts his reputation. Might even put him in jail. That's bearing false. God hates that. In the law of Moses, if I accuse Nathan of a crime and witness against him and it's found out that I have lied trying to hurt him, then the punishment that he would have gotten would come to me. Boy, it would be something if we had something like that in our country right now. I wonder how many frivolous lawsuits would immediately disappear. I wonder how nervous people would get about filing false accusations against people to try to get vengeance or revenge against them for something, or hatred because they hate them about something. And then, oh, here we see this again, he that soweth discord among brethren. I guess God really hates that. Because God wants us to dwell together in unity, and discord is only the devil's desire, not God's desire. Now that imagery of sowing, I mean, we think about this with soul winning. You take that seed and just toss it out there, and it's little seeds going different places, and maybe the wind carries it around, and settles into certain soils. And what about sowing discord? Little comments here and there, little things here and there, little thing, you know, little words, little. Who knows where those will end up? Who knows where they'll end up? D.L. Moody, the old evangelist in the 1800s, a lady had really torn apart his reputation everywhere that she could, and she finally came and said, "I'm sorry for all the things that I've said against you that were so wrong and such lies." He said, "All right, what I want you to do is go take a pillow and go up on top of the skyscraper and rip it open and let all the feathers fly off. And then I want you to go out and find all those feathers and gather them back up again." You can't do it. So you got to be careful what we say, because you never know where that seed of discord might end up. And it's awful hard to get it back once it's out there. So God hates these things. The person that has wisdom does not want to do things that are an abomination to God. How could that possibly end well? How could it possibly end well if I am loving the things that God hates or involved in things that God hates? It's simply foolish to involve myself in things that are provocative to God. All right, number three. It is foolish to destroy your own soul. And here we have another warning to the simple son about the strange woman. Remember that nothing can mess a guy's life up as much as a bad woman. But it's not just the woman. Obviously, God's not just picking on women and saying that men are great and girls are bad. This is just an example from a father to a son. And any of us, male or female, can learn from this and get some warning from it. We're just going to take it as God gave it to us, however. Notice in verse number 23. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life, to keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. Now, your first blank here. This particular woman is evil. She is evil. It says so. She is the instigator here. This is not a woman that, you know, is lonely and maybe gets seduced and ends up in trouble and does things she shouldn't do and regrets it later. And, you know, that. This is a woman who's actually, she's evil. She's evil. This woman is called an ugly word. Verse number 26. For by means of a whorish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread, and the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. Now, thank God, most women are not like this woman. Every woman out there is not someone looking to steal you away from your wife. All right, guys, let's get our egos in check. Every woman out there is not not trying to figure out a way to get us. Amen. And ladies, every guy out there is not trying to steal you away from your husband either. There are actually lots of guys that have every intention of being faithful to their spouse and aren't interested in anyone else. But that does all it takes is one. All it takes is one. That's why I've always had strong standards for myself and rules for myself. Mike Pence said this a few years ago and got in a lot of hot water with the feminists that he doesn't meet with a woman by herself, isn't in a room with a woman by herself. And, of course, the feminists roasted him for that. And then, you know, like a month later, the Me Too movement started. It's like you can't win for losing with this crowd. But I've always had that. I'm not alone with any women. It's not because I'm afraid that every woman just can't wait to get her claws into me. I'm not stupid. I look in the mirror every day. But it only takes one. And it only takes one false accusation. It only takes one appearance of evil. And then my life's a mess. Amen. So you got to be smart. The wise man's smart. He doesn't want himself to be in a bad situation. He doesn't want to be in a situation where he can be accused of things. And he knows that though most women are not going to fall into this category, especially not most church women are not going to fall in this category, it only takes one to mess up his family, mess up his life. And his wife also understands that. No, every woman's not trying to get your husband, but you do have to watch out for the one. Verse 25, lust not after her beauty in thine heart. If this woman was not attractive, there would not be much danger. Although I have been surprised by what some men consider attractive. But if there's a woman in your life that is attractive and beautiful and alluring, you need to watch your eyes and watch your heart and watch your imagination and not allow that to become a lust in the heart for that particular person. Verse 26, we saw, for by means of a whorish woman. Now, I hate to use this ugly word, but it's a Bible word. Why should I be ashamed of it? It's an ugly word. It's an ugly way of life. She's not a harlot. She just acts like one. Did you get that? She's not a harlot. She just has the morals of one. So for by means of a whorish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread, and the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. So here's a woman who is wanton. She's bored. She's lonely, whatever. And she's a whorish woman. And notice that she will hunt. Now that's an important word there. And that's your next blank, number three. She's hunting for a man. She's hunting for a man. She will hunt for the precious life. You know, there comes a point where most good men are taken. That's something the feminists learned the hard way. Because they wanted to have their college and they wanted to get their career off the ground. They wanted to wait all, you know, until they're, you know, in the late 20s, early 30s before they get serious about finding a mate. And they find out that most of the good guys are already married long before that. It's just reality. There's studies that show this. And there's lots of articles on this. It's reality. And so here's this woman. She's hunting for this precious life. This life that she hungers for. This life that she wants. A good man, a good husband, a good father, a good provider. The white picket fence, the house that she thinks this other woman has. She's hunting for that, but she doesn't care if she has to commit evil to get it. That's the precious life. Y'all with me tonight? See, my wife has a precious life. She has what she wants. She has what she's always wanted in life. She has a husband who loves her. She has children who love her. She has her home. She has her life. She has her, the things that she does. She has her church. She has her little world there that is precious to her. And there may be someone out there that says, I want what she has, but she wants it. She wants to get it the wrong way. So she's going to find some guy at work or whatever, and she's going to say, you know what, his wife doesn't deserve him. I'm going to get him so I can have that precious life. That's not going to come to a good end. So that precious life that she's hunting for a man, but she's hunting for men that she doesn't have the right to, she doesn't have a tag for them. She's a poacher. Well, verse 27, can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Can one go upon hot coals and his feet not be burned? So he that goeth into his neighbor's wife, whosoever toucheth her, shall not be innocent. Let her be there. Don't play with fire. You won't get burned. Don't play with fire, you won't get burned. It's not going to be worth it. Verse 30, men do not despise a thief if he steals to satisfy his soul when he's hungry. So some guy steals food from me, steals money from me, and I find out that he's starving. I say, you know, I can understand why you would do that. You're not stealing my TV so you can have it in your living room. You're stealing because you want to buy food because you're starving. I can understand that. I don't appreciate it and I don't approve of it, but I can understand it. But, in verse 31, but if he be found, he should restore sevenfold. He should give all the substance of his house. I mean, even thieves, even though we can understand why they might be hungry, we still punish them. Verse 32, but whoso committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding. He that doeth it destroyeth his own soul. A wound and dishonor shall he get, and his reproach shall not be wiped away. For jealousy is the rage of a man. Therefore he will not spare in the day of vengeance. I'm told there was a time when a man found his wife with another man, and he killed the guy. I mean, they wouldn't even be tried for it. I don't agree with that. I'm just saying that there was a time, you know, that it was kind of understood. You don't mess with someone's wife. I don't approve of that. Let me point that out and make that clear. But jealousy is the rage of a man. He's not going to care about your... He's not going to be placated. You're not going to talk him out of it. He will not regard any ransom, neither will he rest content, though thou givest many gifts. So it's not going to be worth it. The wise man is not going to fall for such things. The wise woman is not going to be involved in such things. You know what's better? We'll conclude with this. You know what's better? What's positive and wholesome and wise? Be an upright, decent, truthful, honest, straightforward person who avoids destruction without remedy. That sounds good. Amen. Just live upright, be honest and faithful and, you know, and avoid certain things and be straightforward and, you know, and don't involve myself in things that are going to bring certain destruction in my life. Live in the fear of God, avoid the things that He hates. I mean, that sounds good. Why? There's so many things God loves, I need to be involved in them. And have a happy home. Be content with the life you have. Don't try to take someone else's or get involved with someone else, wrecking your family and destroying your soul and maybe even ending your life. See, this is Proverbs, cold, hard reality. You mess with these things, you're going to get hurt. That's what Proverbs teaches us.